Thank you so much, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances to Tiffany Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. As you know that today Maharaj, His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj will be joining us soon. If you could say a brief words about him.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today we have with us His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Chandramouli Swami Maharaj is a disciple of ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He is also an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj was born in New Jersey in 1947, and he came into contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from Srila Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, he began serving as the resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he relocated to Karlovac, Croatia. At present, Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, the USA, and in India. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the call, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji, for your kind introduction. Has Maharaj joined yet? I don't. My humble obeisances, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all our Guru Maharajas. All glories at your lotus feet, Maharaj. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, you can take over the call. And today, if you could kindly speak a few words from Canto 6, Chapter 12, verse number 12, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
No, it's not a full screen here. I'm trying to get it full.
I'll stop and try to reach you.
I got a partial and still see the background. Okay, that's better, I think. Om Gyan Tamitha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Avidvamevam Atmanam Manyate Nishya Ishvara Srinjati Bhutani Vasate Tani Tai Swayam. Translation. A foolish, sensible person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous futile activities, one's material body is created by father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Purport. According to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, One's karma, or previous fruitive activity, is the cause of everything, and therefore there is no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord, as the Lord himself says in Gita 15:15, Sarasya jaham vridisani visto matat smita gyanam apohanam cha. I'm in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not the creators of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruitive activities, he is put into the semen of a father who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. And according to the body of the mother and father, yata yoni yata bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer and enjoy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of being of one's being killed. No one is independent, everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gana Jana Silakaya. Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Irvisesa Sunyavadi Pasyatya De Sitarine. Vanshakopa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Krishna says, Daibhyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatnaya mameva ye papadyante maya itam tarantite. Now, Prakriti kriyamanani guni karmani sarvasha ahankara vimuratma kartaham itimanyate. And Krishna also says, Mayadakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunan Navikonteya Jagadviparvi Partante. So the understanding through the scriptures, which is repeated many times, is that the source of all existence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the absolute truth, the sunam bonum, and he is the beginning, middle, and end of everything. The scriptures, acharyas, and others who are in knowledge confirm this continuously. But how does he do it? He does it through his energies. And that is, he puts the material energy in place. And the living entity, being involved or wrapped in the material energy, performs activities. Some of those activities are what we say within the elevated consciousness of goodness, and some are in the lower consciousness of passion and ignorance. A conglomeration or accumulation of these activities, along with the consciousness that produced the activities, brings about a certain reaction. And when that reaction manifests itself at the time of birth, one gets a particular body. karma divana trina. So everything is under the control of the Lord. He puts the energies in place, the living entity acts, gets some result. By that karma, they take particular birth in a particular situation. But he is the force behind everything. Here, this one philosophy, Karma Mimamsa, says that fruit of activities are the cause of everything. So based on one's fruit of activities, you get a particular result. You don't have to do anything. But a devotee knows, or those who are actually in knowledge, they are aware that by performance activities, one directs one's activity, one directs one's consciousness in a certain way. And in that way, if they direct that consciousness towards the Supreme, they elevate their consciousness and they change the results of their karma. So one has to act for the Supreme, knowing that behind everything is the hand of the Lord to give the results, either directly for the devotees who worship him in devotion, or those who are more infatuated by the material energy and are trying to make a nice place out of this material world. But in any case, whether direct or indirect, the material, spiritual, the hand of the Lord is behind everything. Therefore, and here it says, no one can create and no one can destroy. It's more like the elements that create and destroy as we see them within our range of existence are simply instruments for the higher principles. In other words, the living entity, the mother and father, comes together, and then the womb becomes fertilized, and the child eventually, after 9 months, comes out of the womb. But that child's taking birth in that particular mother's womb, and his existence as he manifests himself in the world, are all due to his previous karma. But the process of creation is inspired by the Lord himself, who has put this process of creation in place, known as the three modes of material energy. So everything is working. It's like a great machine. And the operator is the Lord. Or he uses his energies to operate the machine. But even the machine is his energies also. So the conclusion is, nothing is outside of the Lord, and nobody does anything. We simply become instruments, or we become pawns based on our desire. Our desire impels us to act and think in a certain way and get a particular result. So the only thing the living entity has that is unique is his desire. He can desire to worship the Lord, or he can desire to try to make some kind of arrangement out of the material energy to be happy here. So that is the only thing. Once we desire, we act or think in a certain way. We think and then we act. And everything is at that point, everything is under the control of the Lord's energies. And we have nothing to say at that point based on our desires. So we can choose what we want to do. You can't say, well, I'm going to act under the influence of my desire to enjoy in this material world, and therefore I will enjoy. No, because the machine is situated differently. It works under the control of the Lord. who gives the results of people's activities according to the net level of the activity and the consciousness that inspired that activity. What I'm trying to emphasize is that for a devotee, it's based on desire. We have to desire Krishna. We have to desire devotion. If we have many desires, then as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, then one's intelligence is many branched. And with intelligence of many branched, then the results of the activities become a mixture of various types of karma or desire based on some of it may have an element of spirituality in there, and the other aspect is that there is some material desire. So the conclusion is that ultimately one should simply desire Krishna. And that will make one happy and elevate one to the perfectional stage of life where one leaves his body, does not take birth again, attains the spiritual realm, becomes fully and totally happy and is complete with full knowledge, awareness of all knowledge. And so, therefore, when the one, you know that the Lord is everything and everything that happens is simply his arrangement. There's no other choice, actually, to surrender because everything is him. We either surrender to material energy or to his spiritual energy, which is him. And ultimately, we can't get away from the Lord, cannot be independent. There's a class of men who have a certain demoniac mentality, and they influence others in the same way. And they, although the Lord is, it becomes obvious, just like when Krishna was here. He lifted Govardhan Hill. He killed so many demons very effortlessly. He performed so many activities that can only be done by the Supreme Lord himself. Not even superhuman beings could possibly even do lifting a gigantic mountain on the tip of this little pinky. Not possible by anyone. Even if they have mystic power, it's still not possible. And so, but still, after hearing about and even witnessing, they still can't recognize the Lord, nor can they recognize that they are dependent on them. And therefore, they foolishly would try to remain independent and create their own environment, which is just a hard struggle, which ends in suffering and defeat. For the devotee's intelligent. He understands Krishna is everything, and I belong to Krishna. Therefore, if I belong to Krishna and Krishna is everything, when I connect with Krishna, I'm also connecting with everything because everything is under his control. And that is a fact. The example is given when a rich man has a child. The child may be a prodigal son, daughter, and decide to leave and go out on their own, giving up the shelter and the benefits of the father's care. And they will struggle in so many different ways, trying to make it on their own. And someone will say to them, well, you have a very rich father. Why don't you go back there? You can live comfortably. Why are you just wasting your time and struggling like for nothing? So a devotee knows that simply by taking shelter of Krishna, worshiping Krishna, putting aside all other forms of worship and activity, we don't have to perform great austerities, we don't have to perform penances, we don't have to chant various types of mantras in order to produce some kind of auspicious result. All we have to do is surrender to the Lord in devotion, And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it easy. He made it so easy, as Prabhupada said, it's so easy, you'll even miss it. Chant the holy names of the Lord, which are none different than the Lord. They're on a pure spiritual energy. They awaken one's consciousness in devotion, and they elevate one's existence to a platform of freedom from all material miseries. And when you feel happy, you can dance by chanting, and we can eat foodstuffs offered to the Lord and try to understand your relationship to the Lord by reading the various books on philosophy, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Sri Ishupanishads, Nectar of Devotion. All of these books are full of amazing philosophical statements that elevate one's consciousness to the platform of pure knowledge. So Krishna, but why do we waste time trying to make a carve out an existence in this material world, trying to find happiness in material activities? Because we don't have faith in the Lord. We don't really understand his position as being the absolute supreme controller and benefactor of all living entities, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suvidam sarvabhutanam shantamam yantam vichyutu. He's everything, and at the same time, he's everyone's best friend, because he has everyone's best interests at heart. And therefore, one who knows this simply wants to serve the Lord, associate with those who serve the Lord, and become, shall we say, fully Krishna conscious by various activities such as hearing, chanting, reading, serving, worshiping. It becomes a wonderful lifestyle. But we waste time and material energy still trying to eke out some kind of happiness when he's squeezing trying to get to the mode of goodness so we can squeeze out a little bit of a drop of juice, which dissipates itself just as soon as it exists. What will it take for us to wake up and actually understand our position in relationship to the Supreme Lord? And stop trying hard to somehow or other become happy in this material world, which is not possible. As it says in the scriptures, even if you get what you want, there's no guarantee it will give you happiness. And even if you get what you want and it gives you a little happiness, the time element is always there, which will destroy whatever you achieve. Why waste time? Because life is short. And Kali Yuga life is very short. We don't live very long. And compared to the people in previous ages, we live very, very short lives. And because the quality of life is going down in this age, the shortness of life is becoming more and more. People are supposed to live 100 years in this life. Most people live 75, 80. Some maybe a little bit more, and that's a normal life. But what we've created a civilization with so many dangers, you can die at any second simply by eating bad food, polluted food, or drinking water that's contaminated. The atmosphere is full of opportunities to become overwhelmed with dangerous situations. It's everywhere. Mosquitoes are there, snakes are there. We're surrounded by death at every moment. Fortunately, by Krishna's mercy, we go on. But ultimately, this place is not nice. Anyone who says it's a nice place obviously is intoxicated with illusion. So why waste time trying to eke out something you can't keep anyway? And we're better to engage in devotional service And to simply worship the Lord with all our energy, heart, mind, intelligence, abilities, and resources, and all of these things which we have accumulated over time will become sources of great happiness. A devotee's possessions, although he knows belongs to the Lord, simply become a source of happiness for the devotee because he understands they belong to the Lord. The Lord has given me whatever I need to live in this world if I use it for his service. Manaso deho gehan. No kitchen more arpilu throughout the day, Nanda Kishan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point, yeah. Yeah, my wife, my home, my family, everything, my body, my possessions, my house, it's all yours. Belongs to you. I belong to you. Now that's freedom. That's freedom. As long as we try to possess something in this world, we have to, we get controlled by the same thing we possess. Just like people, they want to smoke cigarettes. So they're controlled by the habit of smoking, which causes them, their health to go down. But they can't give it up because they're controlled by the same thing that they try to enjoy. And it's killing them. And that's true with many, with practically everything in this world. Whatever we try to enjoy, it controls us because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the person who created it, and he's made a purpose for it. And that purpose is to use it in his service, and that is our good fortune. So when we understand that, then the only logical thing is to absorb yourself in devotional service 24 hours a day, because life is very short. And we've even made it shorter by the way we live today. Okay, I'll stop there.
Thank you, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you and your wonderful lesson, and very, very simple to understand. Very nectarian class, Maharaj. And you said it so nicely. I mean, we are foolishly trying to connect with everything else but Krishna. But if we connect with Krishna, we have everything else automatically. And then I wish we could internalize it and actually apply it. Devotees, feel free to unmute yourself. Please go ahead, switch on your cameras. Let Maharaj look at you. Let him bless you. And feel free to ask questions. Maharaj is right here. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandvat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, Maharaj, I have one question. Like, we always say that Jiva has a free will, and because of which we desire, and because of which all the karmas happen. So when is it a right understanding that when a Jiva fully surrender to Krishna, he kind of give away his free will in Krishna's hand, then now you do whatever you want, like I don't have my own will or my own desire, your desire is my desire. So does that mean the full surrender?
Well, we understand, just like a child, when the child wants to be independent, do things for himself, he has to struggle, and he may also give up the protection of the parent. As soon as he takes shelter of the parent provides everything the child needs. And because he's connected with the parent, he's happy. It's the same way. Mm-hmm. We're not losing our independence. We're actually gaining our independence. Because we lose our independence when we try to control the material energy, enjoy the material energy, because it controls us. Mm-hmm. But on the spiritual platform, there is complete and free independence. But it's in relationship to our service to Krishna. So we can serve Krishna in thousands of different ways. Which are very similar and actually are similar to the same things we do in this. You know, we eat, we sing, we dance, we do things in this world, but it's all in relationship to the body and the senses. When we do it in relationship to Krishna, Krishna's energy elevates us to a platform of happiness and satisfaction. We're not giving up anything except the false idea that we are the controllers.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Shukakara Prabhuji, would you like to go ahead with your question?
Prabhuji? Yes. Hare Krishna, Chandrababu Chai Maharaj. Please accept my humble things and lotus feet. All the wish to your holiness, all the Shukila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, I want to check up, see the great devotees, Shila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and all those who write songs, they write that a devotee should not ask anything to God. You keep serving, God will take care. But I'm fallen. So I am praying that I must go back to God and I must be able to remember Krishna when dying. I'm doing my service, I'm doing my seva, I'm trying to preach and get people and all. But this desire is there. Is it wrong to desire that I have to somehow remember Antakale Chamameva and I want to go back? I'm not telling I can be a worm in anywhere, but I should remember your lotus feet. That I'm not able to pray because I'm not confident whether I will be able to do that. If I'm with Krishna always, I know I have no problem. So is it the wrong desire to go back home in this life?
Not wrong. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in the first canto, very few people actually want to go back to Godhead. But one who does, and Krishna makes all arrangements to help that person come back to him. So that ultimately is the perfection of one's life, to qualify oneself to go back to Godhead. In other words, to develop pure devotion. That's not wrong. But then there is a class of Vaishnavas that don't ask for anything. All they want to do is serve. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadishakam oye mamma janmani janmani ishvare bhavata bhakti ohoi chuki oye. So that's a step up. But still, if one cannot, one is not in a lesser position or in a selfish position if you want to go back to them. Because that's Krishna wants you to come back anyway.
Well, I feel protected. If I go there, Krishna is there, all the great devotees like you and will be there. So I'll be just in routine. Serving.
Well, let's hope I can get there. I'm not sure the way I'm going.
You are a pure devotee, Maharaj. You are disciple of Prabhupada, reaching all over the world. So please keep us all up in your place, Maharaj. So at least, aapka dhoti pakadke hum bhi aa jayenge. We'll also be there with you. Because I'm sure we'll be able to identify also when we meet Prabhupada in some lecture. He said, yes, you can identify, but not in as Prabhupada, something else. So I want to also see Bhakti Sangha people there. Not in Mataji Prabhu and all, but we'll be able to identify, yes, this is our person, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, just keep your mind focused on devotional service and perform, chant the holy names of the Lord and serve the Vaishnavas and find happiness and satisfaction in these activities. And you're ultimately coming to the point of pure devotional service. We can enjoy, we don't try to, but we can enjoy the process as we move forward in the process of becoming pure. It's wonderful. That's why Bhagavad Gita says, Susukam Kartam Avyayam. This process is very joyful. What makes it not joyful is where we still want material happiness. And that's what causes that joy not to be there. long as we still want something in this material world for our own personal satisfaction, we block that natural growth, that natural happiness that comes with devotional service.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada has told that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Dukhaya Masashvatam. But I read Prabhupada Saraswati, the man is telling, no, this Dukhaya and complete Purna Sukha or something is written. So I got confused how Krishna is telling his Dukhaya and pure devotee is telling this Dukhaya. Can you just throw some light on that?
Well, Krishna is telling us that this place is temporary and miserable, and somebody else is. What else is someone saying? Something else? Whatever Krishna says is correct and absolute. You may try to get a clarification on what he means.
But Prabhupada says it's written that if you are totally in devotional service, this sukham, purna sukham is written like that. If you are totally in devotional service, selflessly serving, it doesn't matter wherever you are in, so happy. But that I'm not able to digest because I'm not in that level.
We'll get to that level, right? Go for it.
Please bless us, Maharaj. Please, we need your lotus feet. Please, we're begging you, Maharaj.
It's available. Maharaj. It's available. Lord Chaitanya has made it so merciful. He's cut away all the difficulties that were there and previously. He's given it directly by his mercy. It's Mahaprabhu that's making it so wonderful and so easy. He is the Kandambini. He is the rain cloud of Madhurya. Sweet. Emotional service is sweet. And it's like a shower of sweetness coming from Mahaprabhu. You study the life of Mahaprabhu, understand his directions for us in Krishna consciousness. It becomes so easy and wonderful. But if we waste time, then we lose that time. But we could be used to go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna consciousness is now, not later, tomorrow, yesterday.
No. But when we attend your class, I always feel, oh, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarvathidya. That will never go wrong. And since Sadhu Sangha, when we just attend your class, we meet and sit, we are getting that mercy flowing from you to all of us. That service in the green also definitely pass the exam, final exam at the time of death. It passed. So we need your mercy, we need your blessings, we need your kripa, everything, Maharaj. Please. Chandramouli Maharaj ki jai ho, Maharaj. Thank you.
Chandramouli Maharaj ki jai, definitely. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your questions. We have Anahita Mataji. Would you like to go ahead and ask your question, please?
Hi, Krishna. Thank you so much for the class. I'm so happy to finally be back in the live classes. My question has kind of been answered a little bit, but I just wanted to know, how do you keep, or any maybe advice, guidance on how to keep regular sadhana during difficult times? Because obviously we're going to have difficult times throughout our entire life, phases, and just wondered how we can maintain or keep regular sadhana during that time.
But don't go to bed late.
That's definitely one I need to do.
That's the problem. The sadhana is early morning time. Take rest 9 o'clock, 9:30. Get up 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then you have plenty of time for sadhana. You can chant. You can chant your rounds. You can read. You can worship. Go to bed 11, 12 o'clock. You get up what? Late. The day's already started. And then you have so many responsibilities that come. And then you have you kind of shortcut your sadhana.
Mm.
Go to bed. Sorry.
Thank you.
I I've seen people who have transitioned from going to bed late to going to bed early, and how much their devotional life really blossomed because of that. It seems like a very simple thing, but it's practical.
Mm.
It really supports, you know, a good sound. Those early morning hours are the best time for hearing them chanting.
Mm. Thank you.
We don't have to worry about doing so many things. And at that time, we can just focus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Prabhupada, he was talking about devotees. Prabhupada said, if you go to bed 10, you get up at 4. You go to bed 12, you get up at 4. You go to bed 2, you get up at 4. So, in other words, you fix your time for getting up. Don't let anything else disturb that. And you fix your time for getting up, then you'll think, well, if I go to bed late and I get up at my fixed time, I'm going to be tired. I'm better off.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Raj Prabhu, would you like to go ahead and ask your question, please?
Hare Krishna, thank you. I feel that everyone around us is looking for pleasure and looking for happiness in various different activities. So, and in the activities, there is an element of pleasure, but it's identifying what is real pleasure and what is not. So in the activity itself, so if someone likes to read, rather than reading newspapers and popular fiction, etc., they could read the Bhagavatam. So pleasure is there in reading. Pleasure that is there in singing and dancing, but they need to direct the singing and dancing for Krishna. Pleasure is there in eating and drinking, but they can gain that pleasure from eating and drinking prasadam. So the pleasure is always there. And it's like people are picking the poison berries rather than the nutritious berries. And there is also, I believe, feel that there is demoniac forces that are encouraging everyone to pick the poison berries. Some people do it because they make money out of it.
Well, modern advertising.
Mm.
They tell you how you can be happy. But if you believe it, then you'll get the poison berry.
Yes, Maharaj.
Center your life around the words of Krishna and the spiritual teachers. And they give you everything. Bhagavatam contains everything, not just spiritual activities, but those activities that we perform in day-to-day life that connects us with Krishna. Bhagavatam's complete. We don't have to go, we don't have to hear. We can just hear from Krishna, the spiritual master. I mean, if you want to fix your computer, you'll have to go to the store and get the IT guy to work on it. Don't ask Krishna for that. But these are just, you know, these are called sopavidya. Sopavidya means that knowledge which is ordinary. But generally, philosophical, spiritual, or even moral information is all given in the Shastras. It's helping us develop a way of life that is aligning ourselves with our actual identity, which is a spiritual being. We have so many books, so many lectures, so many opportunities to learn. It's overwhelming. I mean, if it was like years ago when there was no books and everything was done by word of mouth, then you had to make an effort to find that person who could speak and then learn in that way. And now we have everything at our disposal.
Sounds like we need some marketing that's even cleverer than the professionals advertising.
You're right. You can learn from them in terms of how they, like Prabhupada said, you can read a verse, but you can understand it from different angles of vision. You can tell a person to not do something, but rather than telling them not to do something, you can suggest what they could do, replacing the activity which is bringing them down. Communication is an art. And those who know media, they know how to use the media present their ideas and plans in different ways for different types of audiences. We're also doing that also.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The quality of a good wife is she's chaste and faithful to her husband. So we want to stay chaste and faithful to Krishna and not become a prostitute by looking other places for happiness.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for such an insightful answer. Namrata Mataji, would you like to go ahead and ask your question, please?
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisance for Srila Prabhupada. My question is, when we try to do things ourselves, we are not trying to be humble at that time. So how do we understand that the difference, how do we understand the difference between not doing our endeavor by doing things ourselves and when to be humble and approach for the relevant help?
Well, the help means to depend on Krishna. Just like if you're giving a class, you'll study the books ahead of time, and then you get a little working knowledge of what you're going to say. And then when it's time to give the class, you also pray to the Lord and to the spiritual master to give you the mercy you need in order to present the knowledge. So that's what it means to depend on the Lord. That's what it means not to be independent or, to, as you say, do things by yourself. We have to act. We have all of our philosophy based on acting, and acting in a very, what we say, regular way. But the devotee knows it's not simply by my activity alone. It's by the mercy of the Lord that things become successful. So that consciousness has to be there. We make the effort, and we also have to use our intelligence in making the effort. But still, the devotee thinks Krishna is in the background. It all depends on his mercy. So let me pray for his mercy. Just like when we chant our japa in the morning, there are many devotees who spend sometimes up to a half hour offering prayers before they begin their japa. Prayers about the holy name, prayer to the holy name, to the guru, to Lord Chaitanya, to guide them, to give them the mercy, to free them from inattention, to help inspire devotion. The prayer is one of the nine processes of bhakti. So if we're trying to perform an activity, we should pray for the mercy in order to perform that activity. And then while we're performing it, we can also remember the Lord also. If we think everything depends on our ability, then that's what it means to act independently. One who sees me in everything and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, and that person's never lost to me, Krishna. We just don't know how great Krishna is. And therefore we think he's, you know, not around. He's always around. He's in your heart, he's in the environment, he's everywhere, through his energy or even directly through his personal presence.
So does that mean, Guru Maharaj, that when we try ourselves, I mean, when we keep over endeavoring or when we act independently, we still keep doubting about Krishna. Does that mean that?
We're acting in either partial or no knowledge. That's it. Full knowledge means Sarvasya Jahamba Disani Vistal. That verse was quoted. I give knowledge. I give remembrance. You want to forget me? I can also help you. I will also help you. Where do the atheists get their philosophy? Krishna. They want to be atheists. They want to believe that there's no God. And Krishna says, all right, here's a good philosophy. Try this one. And then they come up with the philosophy, there's no God, and they actually think, oh, now I understand, yes, there's no God. But where do they get that knowledge? From Krishna. Because that's what they want. But if you want Krishna, then he'll give you that knowledge and how to approach him.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. That clarifies a lot. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. It's so nice to hear all those question answers. So basically, Maharaj, it's not possible to be desireless. I mean, even the desire to be desireless is a desire. So the only way I think we can do is to channelize the desire to the right way and desire the right thing. That is Krishna.
Desire is life. A stone doesn't have life. Desire, but for a stone is jhana, is dead. Anything living is based and has desire because desire is life. Man. You can change your desire, but you can't eliminate desire.
Sometimes we try to forcefully change the desire and because intellectually we know what's the right desire. However, at the back of the mind, we know that we are not bereft of other desires. And that's where the...
Well, then you have to understand there's a process for getting a desire and there's a process for changing it. It's not going to happen automatically. The desire to change is the will, but the desire that was there beforehand is situated within the mind and heart. So that's been developed over a period of time. But that's not going to go away simply by desiring it to change. You have to work on it. You have to act according to how you want to that change to be made. And at the same time, you have to stop following your previous way of doing things. And you have to chant the holy names, because the chanting of the holy name, Chaito, Darpanam, Marjanam, that Chaitanya is the heart, that changes our desires from material to spiritual.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you. Devotees, don't be shy. Go ahead and ask your question. I'm so much looking forward to meeting with you next Saturday here, just to announce they are opening a new temple here in Naperville. And there are going to be so many Maharajas coming over. And Chandramali Maharaj, I'm so much looking forward to meet with you here
Where's Naperville?
Yeah, it's in Naperville. It's greater Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that question. Vishi Prabhu, you have a question? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for spending this morning with us. Maharaj, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. I have a question that I always wanted to get a clarification on. I mean, this forum is nice that it's going in sequence, but for someone who is not, they had read the Bhagavatam, because usually the speakers, they're already, well elevated already, and they give them different canto, but the listener, that might not be at that canto. How should one approach that as a listener? How should we, because it's always stated that we should go in sequence from beginning to end. So I was just trying to get the sense as how to approach that as a listener.
Well, yeah, you're talking about reading the scriptures, in particular in Bhagavatam, that's the question.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, well, it says to progress from the very beginning, verse by verse, because the first nine cantos, they deal with many different subjects, and they prepare one's consciousness for the 10th canto, which is Krishna and Vrindavan, which is the actual personality of God in the spiritual world. So we will misunderstand his higher knowledge unless we have preliminary. So the preliminary knowledge comes in different categories, such as how the creation unfolded. And then, of course, from that creation, there is another creation. There's two creations. Krishna creating all the ingredients and Brahma creating, using all the ingredients in order to make the material forms in this world. So all of that is it's interesting, it's foundational, it's transcendental, but it also sets the stage for us to understand higher knowledge. Because we have to understand that same boy in Vrindavan who plays with cows and sees his girls is the person who actually is the source of all existence. So, it might be misunderstood. That's why some people, presumptuous run to these later parts just to say, well, this is the best part. But they can't understand it because they don't have the foundation or the preliminary understanding where they can read it and connect it to the same person who is the source of all existence. So, and it's interesting. and there's many other subject matters in the Bhagavatam. There are 10 subject matters altogether. So it's just like if you're trying to go to, say you're going to university, before you get to university, you have to go to grammar school, you have to go to high school, you have to qualify in through different stages. So we have to proceed very systematically when we read the scriptures. Of course, no one is going to force that, but it is actually the most complete way to get the knowledge.
Thank you, Maharaj, for answering that. Maharaj, but my question, I think I was trying to get an understanding, because yes, reading it, we should do it systematically, but as a listener, because we go to classes and there are different speakers, they present different canto, different lecture. As a listener who hasn't read yet, how should we sort of relish those pastimes, so to speak, because we haven't get to that level yet where we went through the process of reading up?
Yeah, so you just hear. Hear, and yeah, as you're hearing, you should be thinking, you know, what does this mean? So you can ask questions based on what you hear. If you don't understand, questions are there for clarification, for the facility for application, which comes by hearing. We have to learn how, we have to understand what it is, and we have to be able to use it at the same time. So the whole process is hearing. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Maharaj Pariksit, and Maharaj Pariksit heard for 7 full days and became fully enlightened. So even if it's not systematic given, right, different speakers speak at different times, you know, different topics, different Bhagavatam classes, Gita, other Chaitanya Charitamrita. That doesn't matter. The hearing process remains the foundation by which you can understand everything.
Thank you, Maharaj. That really helps. And we're looking forward to see you this weekend here in Cincinnati after a long time. So. Oh, have your association. Thank you.
We weren't supposed to tell anybody. Okay. Since it's out. Let's see.
Himi Mataji, you have a question for Maharaj?
Yeah. Dhanwad pranam, Maharaj. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. I just have a curious question, like, do the Mayavadis read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, but they give their wrong interpretations or understanding. They also chant mantras too. They also worship the deity. But their understanding of the process and the goal is completely opposite. They think by performing these activities, you get to the impersonalist, unmanifested aspect. And then once you get that, and you realize you're non-different from that, and therefore you become back, you're back to your position as being the Supreme. So they worship in order to become God. Nobody can become God because God is already God. That position's already taken. It's not an electoral process, you know. God is God. And so, but because the living entity is a pure spirit soul, has the same qualities of God, at least in most cases, they mistakenly, and of course, they also interpret the scriptures, just like they say, there's a word called nirguna. Nirguna means qualities, and nir means without. So they say that the that the absolute truth is without qualities. But that's not true. The word nirguna requires some explanation. Nir means without, and guna means material qualities. Absolute truth is without material qualities. So they know how to take the scriptures and reinterpret it in different ways in order to fulfill they have a desired goal. I want to be the Supreme. I am the Supreme, but I have to realize that through the process of austerities, penances, worship, and chanting various mantras. We're devotees are not thinking like that. The third devotee is thinking how to please the Lord, not how to become the Lord.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very important understanding because Mayavadi is in a very strong, both in the spiritual aspect and in its reflective aspect. What is this reflective act? Those who worship the material energy also are Mayavadis or impersonalists. Instead of worshiping God, they worship his energy. That's another form of impersonalism.
Thank you for such a nice explanation, Maharaj. Thank you. Shilpesh Prabhuji, please go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. What happens to Mayavadis after they leave their body? Where do they go?
Well, they may, Arunakrishchena Padam Padam Adantiyadam, they may also climb up to the Brahmana Pograms. But Padanti Yada, they fall down again, back into the material world and take up material activities. So they get some temporary elevation to the level of liberation. But that type of liberation is called Sahujya Mukti, which means merging into the bodily proposals of the Lord. It's a temporary sleep state where one is free from all of one's material suffering. But it's temporary. They fall back down again. Why? Because they don't worship the Lord. Only bhakti can stabilize a person's attainment, because bhakti is the nature of the soul. Not cultivation of knowledge, not performing austerities, not giving in charity, not chanting mantras, and not performing penances, not doing good works. These are not the living entity's nature. The living entity's nature is to love and serve the Supreme Lord. These other things may be helpful if they're used in devotional service. But the Mayavadis don't. They use it for themselves. And therefore, it's material. Mayavadis are envious of the Lord. They want to become the Lord. But they can't.
And I'm guessing when they think they are the Lord, it becomes very dangerous, and especially for their devotee people around them.
I've met many Mayavadis, had interaction with them. They're very proud and very arrogant. Just like there is an example of when Gopal Bhatta Goswami, no, I'm sorry, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And he was traveling from Varanasi to go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. And on his way, he stopped at this one place and he met this very nice devotee nice person who was always chanting the name of Ram. He was constantly chanting Ram's name. And he got attracted to Raghunath Bhatta and asked him if he could serve him in his travels. Raghunath Bhatta was really impressed by this person. He was always chanting the name of Ram. So they traveled together. When they reached Jagannath Puri, both of them were able to meet at the same time with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya welcomed Raghunath Bhatta in so many nice ways, but he didn't even look at this other person. And the other person was thinking, oh, he's not even looking at me. He doesn't even acknowledge my existence. The Lord paid him no attention at all. And then he said, then the Lord at one point turned to him and said, give up this idea of becoming Ram. So he was chanting the names of Ram to become one. You can't tell, you know, they sometimes look like devotees, but their goal is different. The goal is to be the Lord instead of serve the Lord.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very helpful.
Yeah, they're all around. Just be careful. And they look like Vaishnavas. Even some of our devotees in the Krishna conscious movement have tendency to pick up some of the Mayavadi qualities or characteristics. And be careful who you associate with and who you hear from.
Very true, Maharaj. They also believe that when Krishna or Lord Ram, when they incarnate, they're under the influence of Maya.
Yeah, they say
they're not Maya.
They yeah. say the Lord takes on a material body. The Lord's body is always spiritual, although it looks like material. And it may also seem like it by the way it acts, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Why would the Lord take on a material body? Even that begs the question. Why would he take on a material body when he is the source of the material energy? If he enters into the material energy, just like when the governor goes into the prison to see what the prison is like, he doesn't become a prisoner just because he's in the jailhouse or because he's doing work in the room. He remains in his position. Krishna always remains in his position wherever he is.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Any further questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class and very nice question answers, Maharaj. Can't wait to have you here in Charlotte. Feel so fortunate to be with you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your association. We are very fortunate. You are so merciful. You know, you are so busy, but still you give some time to us. Thank you.
Oh, there's a lot of nice devotees in Charlotte.
Thank you. We always need your association, Maharaj.
Yeah. We'll be there in about a month.
Yeah.
That's the plan. Krishna can always change things.
Oh,
Okay, Meena, maybe we should conclude here.
Yes.
Sure. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu devacha pati pavanebhyo
vaishnavibhyo namo namah.
Shila Prabhupada
ki jai. Is grace Chaitanya Murli Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.